We are talking for these winter weeks between the December solstice and the March equinox about personal spiritual goals. Why do you come to church? Is the question at its most blunt. What is it that you hope to achieve for yourself, personally, from belonging to a spiritual community like this church? From attending the programs of worship and adult faith development and the other activities that we offer here, and from committing to whatever personal spiritual practice you choose? Why do you do it? Involvement in a self-sustaining, self-governing spiritual community like a Unitarian Universalist church asks a lot from you. So you must at some point have decided that the bargain is a good one. Something brings you here, and something brings you back. And something here so nourishes your spirit that you're willing to invest yourself in the success of this community. I'm grateful for that vote of confidence in our faith. I believe membership in a Unitarian Universalist church is a good bargain, and I believe we do, all of us, get some very good return on our investment. So for you, what is it? What do you want? What are you getting? And what more do you seek? Over the next several weeks, I'll have the chance to preach about six or seven or so of personal spiritual goals. I'll probably mention a few more than that. One of the goals that I name may resonate with you as the main reason that you're coming here, or perhaps more than one. And perhaps I won't mention exactly the goal that calls to you most loudly, but with prompting of this worship series, you might be able to name for yourself the goal that's most alive in your heart. In order to grow in your spiritual life, you need to know where you're going. Perhaps it's a goal that you can reach and have, or perhaps it's a goal that merely defines the path that you take. With a goal before you, you can be deliberate about what brings you here and what you want to go home with at the end of the programs that you attend. You can make choices in how you use the church to your best benefit. And because this is, after all, your church, if you are seeking something and not finding it here, perhaps you can help the church create the program that you need. I started this series with the personal spiritual goal of wisdom. Last week, I preached about the personal spiritual goal of courage. Today, I want to lift up the personal spiritual goal of joy. Here's an example of joy. Jim shared with me this week a little video he found that's been going around on the internet. It's a very short little video. The scene takes place at an airport. Grandma is coming to visit, and the parents have brought the grandkids to meet her at the airport. But the grandkids have decided to play a joke on Grandma. Have you seen one of those full-body dinosaur costumes? They're really great. You step inside, there's a big head, you look out of the mouth, they're pretty realistic, but they're also very silly and fun. So these kids, these grandkids, they're probably like middle school age, you know, 10, 11, or 12. These kids, two of them, get two of these dinosaur costumes, and they go to the airport to meet Grandma dressed up as dinosaurs. So there are these two little Tyrannosaurus Rexes waiting for Grandma to come off the plane. The video starts with them standing at the gate that Grandma will come out of, and already at the beginning of the video, you can tell the grandkids are having fun, and they're very excited to share their joke with Grandma. And then Grandma appears, but, wait for it, Grandma has been tipped off. She had heard what the kids were planning, so Grandma comes through the gate wearing her own dinosaur costume. Grandma dinosaur pulling her little wheelie luggage behind her. The kids are so delighted that they start jumping up and down and clapping their little dinosaur hands. And then they run slash waddle on their dinosaur legs around the barrier to hug Grandma dinosaur. And for all the world, it looks like a long-lost dinosaur family reunion. It was so sweet and so funny. What happiness, what joy. our spiritual lives should lead to lives of joy. We should be joyful. We should feel joy in life. For some of us, joy is the reason that we have a spiritual life, and joy is what we hope we will feel at church, joy with our spiritual community. Joy throughout our lives outside the church. The goal is joy here and the increased capacity to experience joy everywhere that we develop by being part of a faith community and having a spiritual practice. With our opening hymn, we want to begin each day by affirming, "Today will be a joyful day." With the psalmist, whose words were our opening words this morning, we want to close each day by praying, "I sing for joy at all that thou hast done." How does the church help us find joy? Well, the church is a place where we have fun together, like we did last night. We party together. We sing together during worship and at choir practice. We play games together at our family game nights. The church staff and I laugh together during the work week. Someone tells a joke at a board meeting or a committee meeting, and we all laugh. We make a friend at church and meet for lunch, or plan a trip to a museum, or we meet once a week for a walk together. The church offers fellowship, the community of the spiritual community. Fellowship is connected to fun, and fun is connected to joy. Not everybody is really here seeking wisdom, and not everybody particularly needs an extra helping of courage, but everybody wants joy. We all want to be happy, right? We want church to be fun. Certainly no one arrives at worship saying, "Please today let the sermon be boring and the people unfriendly and the music depressing because I've got all the happiness I can take during the week. The last thing I need is a happy church." But the spiritual goal of joy is a little bit more than merely happy. Spiritual joy is related to the fun we have at church, but it's a little more than just fun. The way that spiritual wisdom is a little more than just knowledge, and spiritual courage is a little different from the bravery of a person like a fireman, spiritual joy is more than happiness. The goal of joy is not entirely met by being entertained by a sermon or a worship band. And in the context of spiritual goals, some kinds of entertainment can actually be a danger on the path to joy. We want joy, we want fun in life, and we want to be happy. Those words are similar, but they don't quite mean the same thing. Now, happiness can mean a lot of different things to different people. Some people find happiness in love or in safety and security. Some people are happy with a new car or an exciting vacation, or they're happy watching a movie for as long as the movie lasts. And I hope you're feeling happy now, at least a little. Nothing wrong with that. But joy doesn't just mean happy, or not even very happy. Joy means that sense of being completely engaged with the source of happiness. Joy means full of life energy. Joy means merging with reality. Joy is the feeling that I called ecstasy when we were talking about spiritual practices last fall. That ecstatic feeling of being lifted out of yourself and your relationship with the things of the world into a communion with the divine, a communion with the source of being itself. So joy is not the opposite of sadness. Joy is really the opposite of separation. We become one. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Think about the line from that hymn as not merely about being coming into a room, but coming into communion with all that is. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Not merely into this worship space and this time, but come in to this deep connection with the universe. Linnell invited us at the beginning of worship and our call to worship to be conscious of bringing your whole self into this room, mind, body, and spirit, leaving outside any fear or arrogance or anything else that keeps you outside and apart from and separated from that universal embrace. Come in. That's what joy is. Our hearts fill, our spirits soar, our eyes and ears are open wide, our skin tingles. We feel both exhilarating excitement and also a satisfied peace. It's not the powerful feeling of I can do anything, but it's the wholeness feeling of I am everything, and everything is in me. That's joy. So you can see then why some kinds of entertainment can be a danger to the pursuit of joy. Because entertainments can be pleasant, but a pleasant distraction. The feeling of being entertained is a fun feeling, but it only lasts as long as the entertainment continues. There's an old word that we don't use much anymore that describes the kind of entertainment that I'm talking about. It's the word diverting. How was the matinee, you might ask your friend. Was it entertaining? And your friend might answer, it wasn't great art, but it was diverting. In ballet, there's a French term, divertissement, which is specifically a short dance inserted into the middle of a longer work that doesn't relate to or advance the plot of the ballet. It diverts the ballet, like a stream being diverted away from its proper course. A divertissement is enjoyable. It passes the time. They are often delightful, fun, charming, happy, but it moves away from the goal rather than toward the goal of the ballet. So it diverts. In classical music, there's a genre of music called divertimento in Italian, which is much the same. A divertimento is music for a small ensemble intended for a social gathering, like background music at a dinner or a party. A divertimento is light entertainment. It's diverting, not substantial. It's like a snack instead of a meal. Perhaps it makes you happy, or perhaps it actually even gives you a taste of joy in a fleeting way, but it's a passing joy. It fades. You move on to the next. It's fun while it lasts, and then you need more. Your appetite is whetted, not satisfied. So spiritual joy is the opposite of diverting. With joy, we aren't diverted from the world. We are brought deeper into the world. The goal of joy is a goal of engagement with the world, not an endless, gluttonous consuming of the world with desires overwhelming and never satisfied, but a peaceful, satisfying, and joyful resting with the world as it is. The world is joyful. I am joyful. I am joy. When I watched the video of the grandma dinosaur meeting her dinosaur grandkids at the airport, I was entertained. It made me happy. But you could tell that the grandkids and their grandma were feeling joy. They weren't watching the experience from the outside the way I was. They were having it from the inside, and they were fully there. And their feeling was based in their already real connection with each other as grandmother and grandkids, and the obvious love that for each other that would inspire them even to set up that kind of playful joke for each other and between them. That was joy. I said when we were speaking of wisdom and courage as spiritual goals that Unitarian Universalism is a reality-based religion. The joy seeker, too, seeks a faith that embraces reality, both the happy and the sad, the fun and the boring, and finds it all of it, joyful. The joy seeker learns to see that reality is joyful. Today will be a joyful day, is the truth of reality every day, even on those days when the day is not a happy day. Joy is engaging with existence as it is. To engage with the world, to embrace reality, and to have reality embrace us back. Not just the fun and the party and the playfulness of happiness, but the joy of engaging with reality, which, once we are there, proves to be the ecstatic, mind-blowing, heart-opening, ego-exploding experience that the mystics tell us it is. Happiness is always outward directed. To be happy, we always look for things outside ourselves. Happiness depends on something outside us, something to entertain us. Joy, though, is this inner gift that we carry around with us, independent of any outward circumstance. It is possible to be joyful when there's nothing to be happy about. The joy seeker finds a feeling of inner joy that outward circumstances cannot take away. The kind of fun we have through fellowship at the church can be a foretaste of that kind of joy. And the tastes of joy that we do get here have that true and deep connection to reality, where we lose ourselves into a communion with all that it is, can then awaken in us a desire to live in that heightened space more regularly and increase our capacity to do so. Our joy is complete. Joy is here. Joy is in us and surrounds us. Like a grandma dinosaur with her grandkids, we are embraced by joy.